This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope.
What has happened? Mike is not here. You do not call me to find out who to play in fantasy football.
And the Bulldog.
That is just not how this works. I don't know anything, nor do I care.
On WGR.
Gallman, save me now. Minshew, yeah, great mustache. There, play him.
Sports Radio 550.
You were exposed the other day with that story about your hockey team. Yeah. You misread the calendar and the finals of your hockey league.
Right. Dumped all my stalwarts for guys who were playing on Sunday, and then it turned out there were four more days of games, and I got my head caved in. Yeah.
A logistical error.
Yeah.
In fantasy.
It does directly, not so much imply. I mean, it just flat out states that I was really trying. Because, I mean, I overhauled my roster at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Well, no one's above it. As I mentioned to our next guest, In his league, I traded my first-round pick by mistake. So I'm not here to look down on you. Mike Dempsey is with us on the Westher Hotline. Jaguars today. Also, you can hear him hosting the Football Diehard Show. MD_1010XL. Mike, how is life in Jacksonville?
It's good. How'd you trade it by mistake? What happened?
I woke up in the morning and did the thing I do every time, which is start my day by looking at the My Fantasy League app. And there was a trade offered to me, a draft pick in the middle of our draft last year for a first next year. And I'm like, oh, great. But I read it backwards.
Oh, you thought you were getting the first.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. So, I don't know. It's embarrassing. I'm trying to impress you. I'd rather just impress you than win.
You impress me anyway.
So nice. So, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm sort of excited to talk to you, not just because of fantasy football, but also the push-up thing. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
You've been public about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. I started last year. I did it for 1 year. It was tough to keep up the pace, but I did one push-up on January 1st, and then I added one every day. So I did two the next day, three the day after, and on. And eventually I figured out in my head that would come, or on paper, whatever, would come to 67,000 for the year. And then I calculated if I got like 9 days ahead of pace and stayed there, I'd do a nice round 70,000 for the year. So that's what I did.
Yeah, it was a leap year, but you didn't even need to know that. You went past the number anyway.
No, I had the bonus day in there, but I was doing like 370 push-ups a day the final 10 days or so of the year, man. It was no joke, let me tell you. But, you know, I was a fat boy. I needed to lose some weight, so it helped.
It definitely does help. Yeah, no question.
It was part of a regimen for you, right? It wasn't the only thing you did?
Oh, no. I was I just literally got back minutes ago, hit a large bucket of golf balls. You think it's not exercise, but if you're out there, like in Florida, man, it's already been up like 85, 90 degrees with all the humidity. It's only like 75 today, but you're out there for about an hour and 15 minutes, and I go for a 6 mile walk, like a, you know, kind of like a race walk. I can't run. My knees are no good. So I do 6 miles a day, and I go to the gym a few days a week. So.
So you know I'm doing this push-up thing that I got from you.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you're on whatever you are, like
134.
Something nice.
Yeah.
It's awesome. How you feeling?
Okay.
Long way to go, brother.
Just okay.
Yeah. All right. You're right. The number's in the 66,000 and change range. That's right. You just take there's a way to calculate
it. I had the leap day. I had the extra day.
So you had the extra day.
Grand, or 67
and no,
grand, yeah.
And no days off in there? Like, that's a grind. Like, I do 100 a day and have been since, I don't know, February probably, but okay. I take the weekends off because really for me, Mike, both Mikes, it's during the show. Like I'm up here in my attic for more than a year now. We take breaks and I just get down on the floor and I do 25 to 40 push-ups and I do that enough times to get to 100 during a day and then I'm done. Saturday and Sunday, there's no show, so no commercial breaks. I can't bring myself to get on the floor on a Saturday.
No, you're right about that. I broke it. I was doing sets of 30 mostly, so, you know, up to like a dozen sets of 30 or whatever, and I would do every time I went to break. Everybody at work knew, get out of Mike's way. Hitting the floor, right. Doing push-ups, and the same thing. But I didn't take any days off, because then you got to double up on some days, and you got to get way ahead, and I was not interested in that. So either way, it's a pretty good little thing. It's just mental, right? If you did 10 one day, you can do 11 the next day, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Last question. What are you doing this year for a number, since that's over?
I'm not like really... I was shocked that I'm 52, bro. I'm shocked that my shoulders held up for a whole year doing that. So I could not continue that pace. I was going to try to do something like 220 a day would get you to 80,000. And I figured I was already doing 3-something. So for about a month, I did 220 a day, but my shoulder and my elbow had all kinds of tendonitis. So not doing that, still going to the gym, still doing all the rest of the stuff. But, you know, it is what it is.
I'm glad to know. Thank you, Mike. And thank you for being the inspiration for me.
Hey, you're welcome.
Bulldog really wanted Travis Etienne on the Bills.
Mm.
And we don't know for sure that he wouldn't have been on the Bills had the Jaguars not picked him. What did you think of that?
I'm not surprised that they took him. Clearly, Urban Meyer let you know he coveted Kadarius Toney. They want to use Travis Etienne as kind of a Percy Harvin, you know, Swiss Army knife, jack of all trades, whatever phrase you want to use to describe it. I thought if they were going to go running back early, Urban coveted speed. I thought he was not going to go Javonte Williams or Najee Harris. Those guys are too similar to the game of James Robinson. So, you know, and people are focusing in on the part of the quote that Urban Meyer said where they're going to use Etienne as a third down back. He also said that they're going to play Robinson and Etienne together a lot. So either both in the same backfield or Etienne split out in the slot. He's going to get handoffs on reverses. He's going to get a lot of passes. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is used to dumping it down to him and watching him make big plays with 78 touchdowns. So, it's not by the book for a team that has as many holes as they do to spend first-round capital on a running back. But if they were going to take one, he was the guy. So that was not shocking.
Wow, something I have in common with Urban Meyer. I mean, our paychecks don't line up. There's a few more zeros on the end of his, I'm sure, than mine. But that's exactly what I, for months here, Mike, talking about ETN on the Bills, Mike Shope and I would argue about running back. Like, I'm not thinking about him as a running back. I'm just thinking about him as a stick of dynamite to throw into my offense. And sort of, you know, our Sal Capaccio would say Isaiah McKenzie with a turbo button. That's exactly what I was looking for. So it's kind of cool to hear that Urban Meyer is planning to do that sort of stuff with Etienne.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He did that with Curtis Samuel at Ohio State. He's always had a player like that, be it a wide receiver that he could line up in the backfield and felt comfortable handing it to him a few times, or in this case, they're just using a running back with good receiving skills for the same role.
Bulldog wanted Etienne here. I wanted Curtis Samuel here. You would have taken that too, Chris. But
sure, I would have, yeah.
That didn't happen. Mike Dempsey with us. Mike, in a rookie draft, turning to fantasy, in a rookie draft, is Trevor Lawrence, of the quarterbacks, regardless of format, is Trevor Lawrence the number one rookie quarterback for you in fantasy?
He is for me because his floor is so high, right? I think he has a high ceiling, and arguably – Fields and Lance have higher ceilings, and if that's the game you want to play, you know, if you're just playing long-term, then trade back a few spots. Lawrence comes off the board. I have yet to see a rookie draft, and I've been in a bunch of them already, where Lawrence goes behind either one of those two guys.
Okay.
So, you know, for me, and I think the Jags have a decent array of pass catchers there, and they're obviously going to continue to build that around Trevor Lawrence early in his career. But, I mean, he's been the guy for – as long as we can remember, all the way back to high school, and he's always lived up to it. You know, I understand Justin Fields has been phenomenal at times. He's got great running ability. Trevor Lawrence is no slouch in that department either, but I'll grant that Fields' upside is higher. But playing in Chicago, I don't know if it's the quarterbacks they've had or playing outdoors in those conditions, but when's the last time they had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I think Lawrence will ultimately settle in as a guy who throws 35 to 40 a year for a good stretch. Lance is a complete mystery. You like the pairing with Shanahan, but you also don't like the fact that he's only thrown, 318 passes in his collegiate career. You know, and these guys are the top guys are throwing more than that in a single season easily. So, yeah, for me, I think the safe route is to go with Trevor Lawrence. You can pick your poison between the other two if you want to go on pure upside.
What about Zach Wilson? Where does he fit into that?
He's QB4, and I think, you know, people are kind of downgrading him a little bit. I think he's got decent mobility. He ran for 8 touchdowns last year. I don't expect him to be a 500-yard rusher, but look at what they already have there. If Corey Davis can continue his mid-career renaissance there, at the moment they have Jameson Crowder on the roster. They might ask him to take a pay cut, or he could be gone, but they draft Elijah Moore. They bring in Keelan Cole. That's a decent top 4 wide receivers, and he's insulated. He was the second pick in the draft. He is going to get every opportunity to prove that he's the guy. But, you know, if you're in a one quarterback league, not a super flex, Zach Wilson doesn't project to be a top 12 quarterback. It's difficult to see the path to that. So, you know, I find, though, in the middle of the second round of a rookie draft, towards the end of the second round, he's probably the safest guy out there. Like, I'm not a Rondale Moore guy, for instance, and I took him at the 206 and a 12-team league, Zach Wilson, that is, just today. And I didn't really need a quarterback. Just, I don't think it's a great draft for rookies this year once you get past the top 5 at each of running back and wide receiver, and obviously Kyle Pitts. So I just think Wilson will have a decently long career and will probably be a solid number 2 quarterback for fantasy.
And like Lawrence, he plays right away. Maybe the other guys don't.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, the lesson for me in that is, and I learned it through Justin Herbert last year, Mike, is that you just don't know. I mean, there were Josh Allen. There were critics and to varying degrees, but you just don't know what that's going to be. I avoided Justin Herbert last year because, like, come on. And he was great right away. So you don't know. Wilson's going to get a chance. And that's worth a lot just in and of itself. Mike,
Let me just, in the draft we were in last year together, I took Herbert really late. You know why? Because somebody took Drew Locke before I could get to him. So
yeah.
There you go.
Here you go. Mike Dempsey with us here on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Speaking of rookies, Kyle Pitts in a, you know, PPR standard, one quarterback league, in a rookie draft, what do you think of Pitts first overall?
Oh, I think it's totally logical. I mean, if we're talking dynasty here, I mean, Najee Harris is already 23 years old. Not that I don't think he's good. And if you want a running back, that's your guy. If you want to go wide receiver, Jamar Chase is your guy, clearly. But, I mean, look at the value of a guy like Travis Kelce, who could just separate himself year after year after year. And then every year there's one or two guys in his neighborhood, but it's not always the same two guys. If you can find the next Travis Kelce in terms of fantasy impact, I mean, I think what's going to happen is people are going to take Najee Harris. He's going to have a better rookie year than Kyle Pitts. Good. That's wonderful. But I think by this time next year, you probably won't even be able to get Kyle Pitts for Travis Kelce straight up in a dynasty league. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the fervor for Kyle Pitts is ridiculous, and I think it's well-deserved. And honestly, if after Kelce, if I had my choice right now, starting a dynasty team, I think Pitts is the guy. So I think he's already a top 2 dynasty tight end. And, you know, Jamar Chase, I think, profiles. I think by this time next year, he's going to be looked at like Justin Jefferson is right now. But, you know, there are a lot of wide receivers I think didn't get the job done. And Pitts is that unicorn.
Right. Well, I mean, it's such a cool year, especially in two quarterback leagues, because there's all these guys. I mean, there are tiers for sure. And it's interesting how ETN, who was one of the, you know, sexier names, at least still could turn out great, but how other guys have sort of moved in or above him in most of these drafts. Two veterans, enough with the rookies, two veterans. We've got this, the possibility of this Aaron Rodgers trade, Mike, really cool. You know, like, I think we can sort of be wondering through this quiet time in the NFL for the next couple of months, whether that's coming. There'll be updates all the time. Are you somebody who would be out sort of speculating on that in any certain direction, whether that's Denver receivers or like getting off of Davante Adams in fantasy? What are you doing with the Rodgers speculation?
I think it's too late to get off Davante Adams. I think the time to do that was the beginning of the offseason when you looked at it, and he was in every ranking the number one dynasty wide receiver, and he's like 28, going on 29 years old here, and you look at some of these other up-and-comers, and great, Adams has been so consistent. But even then, before all this blew up, you knew Rodgers might only have 1 year left in Green Bay, and I think that's going to drastically impact. I think Davante Adams is just a hold at this point. You hold and hope for the best that Rodgers comes back, signs an extension. That would be the ideal. But even if he's just back for this year somehow, and then you try to move him when he gets off to a good start. But if you want to, I think that you speculate on Cortland Sutton coming off an ACL. His price is going to be as low as it's going to be right now, particularly because Rodgers is not there. And Jerry Jeudy was somewhat of a disappointment as a rookie. So I do think that is how you take advantage of it. I think if he gets moved, it will be Denver ultimately this year. I know I keep hearing from Denver reporters. In fact, I talked with Ryan O'Halloran with the Denver Post this morning, and he said they'd like to get two firsts and two starting players on the table for Aaron Rodgers and make it happen that way. And I've heard that from more than one guy out in Denver. I think there's some fire where that smoke is, but whether Green Bay is going to take that, we'll have to wait and see.
Right.
How about the Bills, Mike? Like you mentioned, you're going through some drafts here. Like how bullish are people on Allen, you know, runner up in the MVP voting, Stephon Diggs setting franchise records in receiving and yards. Are people you're in touch with optimistic that's all going to continue for the Bills?
I am. In a superflex startup draft, like just starting out, building our rosters, I had the third pick, and it went Mahomes at one, Christian McCaffrey at two, and I took Josh Allen. Tough call over Dak Prescott, who went fourth, but I took Josh Allen in the third spot. And, you know, look, they didn't do anything to add to the running game, which means I think Allen will continue to vulture touchdowns from the duo that they have right there. And, you know, he's improving as a passer. Diggs is still on the right side of 30 years old. You know, they lost John Brown, but they added Emmanuel Sanders. I don't think his weapons really drop off at all. I don't know what's not to like. You know, he's almost impossible to stop, like when it's third and four, from running for five or more yards. Love him, you know. So I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm very bullish on Josh Allen, certainly for this year and for the near future. And Stephon Diggs is, you know, top six or seven dynasty wide receiver at worst at this point in time. So those guys now, you guys tell me what's going to happen with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Who's worth investing in this year?
Well, every time we talk, I feel like I'm telling you about all my blunders. I'm doing that again today. Moss is on my team in the Football Diehards League. He was right. the one player on the Bills offense that I really wanted, you know, for the price. And, sure. You know, he wasn't bad. I did not want a new running back here because I thought it would probably mean more rushes. And these guys are okay, even Singletary. I like Moss. He's coming off a pretty bad injury in the playoffs. I think there is value there. There is some hype around Singletary, I sense. And so I wouldn't be totally out all the way on him either. You know, you get to those, what, 10th, 11th, 12th rounds, and running backs are just, they're almost all backups and dart throws. And I feel like you have a chance. Red zone is Allen for me, you know, like you're saying. But I think you have a chance with both the Bills guys still for some value.
Yeah, well, I hope so, because I'll tell you what, in that super flex that I'm in, we're into the ninth round now, and I have been kind of slow playing it at running back and building a heck of a wide receiver core, and I got a bunch of nice young quarterbacks, but only Cam Akers at running back, so I'm going to have to dip my toe into those next-tier running back waters here pretty soon, and I'm trying to flip a coin in my head between Moss and Singletary. Hopefully somebody will make the decision for me and only take one of those guys, and I'll get the other
right.
One.
Yeah, there is a lot of, Mike said it, there's a lot of hype. Like Singletary is, our buddy Tyler Dunn wrote a long piece about Singletary being motivated this offseason and like revamping his running stride and just really, he's been an animal in the gym. And I know that there's those stories every offseason and you can choose to roll your eyes or buy the hype, but it seems like Singletary has been hitting it pretty hard this offseason.
So Singletary over Moss, you're telling me?
I mean, look, I'm not the one to declare that. I'm just giving you the background. You do what you think is right, Mike. You're the expert, but
I don't know about that, brother.
Doing that work.
I'm Moss, but it's almost negligible difference, and I really don't have the separation there. Well,
right.
maybe Mike, you could revamp your style, running, walking, whatever. Just if Singletary, he's going to test that theory
That's
out.
True. You know,
never stop revamping.
The more I need to take pressure off my knees, so I need to tweak the stride every now and again.
Never stop revamping. All right. Look forward to interacting with you through the off season. Bills at Jaguars, November 7th.
Yeah, baby.
Should be interesting to watch Jacksonville this year. Mike, thanks for your time.
Hey, a pleasure, guys. Anytime.